Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things. Did I ever tell you about the time that a friend brought me my JDM nail care set that I now am very proud of? It's actually a Nissan Bluebird nail care set. Did I tell you about this?
What?
Yeah, I did that thing this morning where I realised that I left the microphone that we record this podcast on in my office. Regular listeners know that I make a point of recording it in my lounge next to some really loud tortoises because that's just the method that I like. But I've got a Nissan Bluebird nail care set that my friend Mark Riccioni, hi Mark.
Oh yeah.
Sweet guy. Brought back from one of his trips to Japan. He's been to Japan more than me. And he kept saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to get you a Nissan nail care set. And I just kept thinking it was a joke. Just thought, well, it doesn't exist. How can it? But it does. And I will take a picture and maybe a little video for our Patreons. It's a brown faux leather case inside a cardboard sleeve. And it says Bluebird Sylphy on it. And I think Sylphy is a model of Nissan.
Yes.
I think it's quite a dull one. But I've decided to do a bit of an influencer thing with this. What I mean by that is I haven't done any research before I start recording and talking.
Well, that's okay. Just talk very loudly and quickly for 27 minutes about it all the same.
Well, that was my intention. So I've got the Nissan Bluebird Sylphy nail set, but it's a bloody comprehensive nail care set, Rich. And there's very Japanese instructions inside, but it says it's got large clippers, small clippers, and then it's got four tools which look like they could be used in some kind of torture scene from an 80s film. You know, there's always a guy with a leather roll that he unrolls and he has sort of octagonal glasses and just looks a bit fucking sinister. And he says, and now I'm going to make you talk. And you know, this is going to be Backstreet Orthodontics or something. And so it's got these really weird little cutters. They almost look like those things that you can buy on Amazon to pry off interior door cards from cars without ruining all the clips. Have you seen those?
Yes.
I've got a set of those. God, they're good. If anybody...
Are they?
Are they really good? Please buy one, a set.
Well, I don't have any door cards that need taking off at the moment. I feel like, you know...
You need it in your arsenal.
Removing door cards is like invasive surgery on the human body. Do not do it unless absolutely necessary. It's not a fun activity just to see what happens.
No. And it's also, you've got to be an incredibly considerate lover with door cards because any form of leverage in the wrong way without kind of like taking the strain from the other side, you can really damage stuff and it's irreparable usually. And it
That's
kind
why
of shows.
I'm skeptical about those tools though, because it feels to me like there's nothing in the world that is going to stop clips breaking.
These tools are great, Rich, because they've got a lot of flex and they've got built-in flex in them so that you can really lean on them and feel the strain.
It always strikes me that it's not in the car company's interest to make the clips so they can be taken off and put back on again without breaking.
Yeah.
It's in the car company's interest just to make the doors as easy to assemble as quickly and cheaply as possible because, you know, that's the economics of building cars, mass production styly. But... Yeah, I'm amazed these tools actually work.
They're brilliant. And in fact, in the most recent barn find that I did, I remembered I had a set in the toolbox And we didn't need to take a door card off, but I used some of the nicely shaped tools to actually scrape moss out from its orifices. And it was great
because they've got a bit of give, so you're not going to scratch up anything.
Yeah, you don't scratch bodywork with them, and that's the point. They're quite sort of rubberized plastic. Anyway, this is getting a little partridge, I realise. But yeah, so the Nissan Bluebird Silphy JDM nail care set is an amazing piece. And I use it. It sits on my desk, and it's one of those times when, you know, it's almost like overnight your nails go from being acceptable to unacceptable. Maybe you've had a very proteiny dinner. I don't know. But you wake up the next morning, and I go into work or something, or I'm driving, and I'm feeling my thumbs with my fingers going, oh, they're a bit talony. Need to sort those now. And that's why I have that set always at the ready on the desk.
Do you know what all the tools do?
I knew you'd ask
me
this.
In your nail care set.
Hang on, let me just... Well, there's one. So there's one I think is a cuticle cutter, and it looks pretty damn savage. I haven't used that one yet because I don't have...
Cutter or pusher?
Well, there's a pusher that looks like a miniature version of those little half moon tools that you do the edges of a lawn with.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know the ones?
Yeah.
There's a small...
Slice your lawn edges.
Yeah. There's a small one of those. And there's... Oh, gosh, what's that? Looks like a sort of flat... Oh, gosh, hang on. Oh, I don't know where you'd put that. I don't know. I don't know what you'd... Do you know what it looks like? I'll tell you what it looks like, Richard. It looks like a miniature Zulu spear. But clone. It's a tiny little chrome Zulu. You're not throwing that at me, mate. It's about 2 inches long. But I don't know what you'd use it for. I can't work that out. I'd have to consult. Really well made.
Good.
And the faux leather. Yeah. I think the faux leather, the brown faux leather, makes it for me. It just dates it nicely.
Yeah. Well, I suppose Nissan wouldn't have signed it off if they felt it didn't reflect the values of the Bluebird Silphy, which I imagine are... You know, build quality and reliability.
Exemplary. Yeah, very reliable. I just want to know if there's a... Because I don't know. If there's other Nissan models that have their own nail care set. Is there a Nismo one? I don't know. Is there a Nismo nail care set?
S-Cargo one that's inspired by a Citroen TCV nail care set that one of the designers once saw.
That would be really good, wouldn't it? So if anyone's got any other... Nissan nail care sets. This is sounding very niche, but they exist, right?
Did Mark had to buy this.
Yeah, Mark actually bought it for me, and he's a lovely bloke. We've been mates for a long time. And if you don't know who Mark Riccione is, go on to Instagram and type, I think, Mark Scene Media, S-C-E-N-E. He's got the most infamous number plate on a Ferrari in this country, I would say. Because it basically just says lasagna.
Yeah.
And
it's not just any Ferrari either, is it?
It's a 360 Challenge, isn't it?
So it's a racing car that he's made road legal.
From Japan, yes.
Ah, from Japan,
so it's a Japanese imported Challenge Straydale. I think that's what it is, because he loves Japanese import cars, even if they're not actual Japanese cars. But he's also got an R34.
He's got an S600 S-Class W140, but hasn't it got straight pipes on it or something?
It has, and that was from Japan. It has exhaust manifolds that were handmade by an artisan man in a small room. So that it sounds just like a Formula One car. And it really does, even though it's an automatic gearbox S-Class. It's just it's unbelievable. And it was quite infamous, made for a Japanese tuning house in the 90s or the very early 2000s. And Mark showed me this car when we worked on Max Power. He was a very young guy on Max Power. And he ended up buying the car and bringing it across. So he's owned some pretty slick machines, but not a lot can compare to the Nissan Bluebird Silphy nail care set. You can keep your V-spec R34 Mark in your Bayside blue.
Perhaps did he buy one for himself, or was it just, you know, pure generosity? He gave you the Silphy nail care.
I've just thought about that. Maybe he did buy his own stash and in the glove box of said Skyline, apart from some assorted boost gauges and things, extra gauges, he's got a nail care set. You just never know when you'll need one. I mean, for example, I could pull up at the Bicester Scramble and then realise I've got talon-like fingers, or, I don't know, you could rendezvous with me and go, Johnny, I don't suppose you've got, you know, like people sometimes go, I don't suppose you've got some chewing gum of you, or I don't suppose you've got this. Yeah. Go, have you got a nail care set? I go, I have actually, yes. It's a Nissan one.
I don't
one.
Think I've ever asked another person if they've got a nail care set. I know somebody who always carries those, you know, the little sort of... Would you say they're cantilevered? Not really, but you know, this kind of the nail clippers.
The clippers, the classic, with the handle swivels round and creates the big lever.
TV's James May carries a little set of those on his keys and is known sometimes, if he's in an outdoor setting where it's appropriate and he's not going to get bits on your carpet, to inspect his nails and give them a little trim.
Oh, that's amazing.
And you know, but I don't think I would ever ask James if I could use his nail clippers. It feels intrusive, even though I know he's got them. It feels like it's crossing a hygiene boundary that you don't want to. You don't want to put in a position of going, oh, I'd rather you didn't.
It's not like he's biting an apple and you appear over his shoulder and go, oh, can I have a bite of that? It's not quite like that, though, is it?
Yeah, it's not like, oh, James, can I borrow your toothbrush?
Oh,
it's not that.
No,
it's sort of a step back from that. But I just don't know whether, you know, people, not just James, but people generally are happy to share nail clippers with people outside of their household.
I wouldn't share a toothbrush with even people I'm madly in love with.
What, like Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah, for example. Yeah, just pluck that one out of the air, Rich. Yeah.
Well, I know that you have a little bit of a thing for Kate Beckinsale. Let's say if Kate Beckinsale came round and then she went, oh, Johnny, I left my toothbrush in Los Angeles. Could I borrow yours?
You've put me on the spot now, haven't you? I might have a spare travel one for her.
That's the way
in the wash kit. But I
yes, it's Mazda 626 branded travel toothbrush
actually
I got from Japan.
If she did come round,
yeah,
I probably would show her the Nissan Bluebird Silphy nail care set, because I think she's got an incredible sense of humor. I think she might be down with that, but I don't know. I really can't speak for her. I've never met her.
Oh, she may, in fact, she may say, Johnny, nail care is no laughing matter, but I'm impressed that you've got such a comprehensive kit because, you know.
And then she'll say, can I see your nails? And I'll show her my nails and she'll say, wow, they're a mess. And I'll say, yes, I do. Kate, I do on average 2 barn finds to 3 barn finds a month. And I don't always remember to wear gloves. So, yeah, I do get oil and grease and I do get scrapes on my fingers. I also bite sometimes the edges of the skin around the nails when I'm stressed. Kate, listen, I wasn't expecting to talk about this.
She's like, it's fine. I know about the barn finds, Johnny. That's why I'm here. I've come to tip you off.
Barn find Beckinsale.
There's a Citroen CX under 5 inches of bird poo in a barn just 2 miles from here. Let's go.
Please don't, because this is... This is almost arousing. Don't go there. Can you imagine if Beckinsale comes around and goes, I'm going to get some overalls on and we're going to do this. I actually know more about cars than people realise. And
yeah, I've been keeping it to myself.
Yeah.
But I'm finally ready to admit, I've actually got 3 bottles of Citroen hydraulic fluid in the boot.
Oh.
In the boot of what, Kate? What have you come in? Got the BX out of storage.
Oh.
Landed at Heathrow. Straight over to my industrial unit, my lockup.
Oh.
In Pinner. Got the old BX out. Let it rise to functioning height.
You know she'll have one of those kind of like 50s factory working women headscarves.
Oh,
which
man.
Just are sexy. I'm just sorry, they are. They just are. She'll have one of those. Anyway, people haven't tuned into this podcast for that. Have they?
Well, to have a little window into your fantasy world. No,
yes,
I suppose
no.
Not. But all right, well, look, let me change the subject rather clunkily by saying we have a bit of housekeeping.
News. This is news.
If you like. News, which we've already announced to our patrons, but we forgot to mention it in last week's podcast. We were so busy talking about the Eagle Quest and all sorts.
I've had a guy design a new logo and he's emailing it to us on CAD. Yeah.
A new logo?
Yeah, it's an eagle swooping in, and in within its talons is a sort of screwed up Smith & Sniff shield badge. It's incredible.
Oh, my God.
It did make me chuckle. I love that everyone's behind quest.
I know. So it's a remarkable degree. Oh, it's quite heartwarming. Who knew? Anyway, I'm glad. Well, there's no update on the eagle this week because we haven't been to get it yet. So that's happening in a few days' time, hopefully. But the announcement we have to make is that as of next month, we are going to 2 episodes a week. So there'll be the normal episode you're used to comes out on a Monday morning.
This
or a Sunday night, if you're a patron. This one, you're listening to it now. But then on a Friday morning, we're going to do an extra half hour show, which we're calling On the Other Side of Things, and which is going to be hopefully where we answer listener questions.
Yes.
So we'll start doing that probably second week of May and see how it goes. But yeah, so the Monday show is normal, and then a Friday morning show as well, which we'll put up for patrons on a Thursday night. And it'll be shorter. I was going to say, and more focused, but obviously that's the purpose is to answer your questions, because we always say we should do it and we don't. So we've had to create a whole spin-off show to do that. On the Other Side of Things, coming soon.
So hopefully,
thank you.
Hopefully it will be minorly entertaining, but also we might actually answer some questions.
Minorly.
We might actually answer some questions.
I don't know. Yes, we might, or we might suddenly drift off deciding that Kate Beckinsale is in fact a vintage Toyota fan or something. I don't know.
I can imagine a question like, Brian Canterbury from Kent has written to us to say, hey, Smith & Sniff, did you know that Steven Seagal did a 2004 reggae dancehall album called Strut?
Oh.
Where he references actual Punani. And I quote,
I saw this on the social, and it was a bit
shivery. And I quote, I'm going to have me a shot of rum, and then I'm going to make you come. What a great line that is. I think, I've listened to a bit of this album.
Yeah.
It's time I'm never going to get back.
No. Is Steven Seagal the world's most ridiculous man?
I think he is. I think, can you imagine imagine one-upmanship with him and Donald Trump in a room with just loads of liquor. It would just be so disorderly and just, there'd just be lie after lie being slingshotted around. It would just be awful, wouldn't it? I didn't realise. So Steven Seagal celebrates the 20th anniversary of an album that no one remembers. And so just before we started recording this here podcast, I thought I'd like to know what cars Seagal actually drove or drives. So I typed it into Google and I didn't get any good information back. But what I did get is this. Oh, did you mean, you know, when Google does things like that, did you mean Stephen Egel, who's a car dealer for Toyota, Lexus and Milton Keynes area?
Oh, yes.
So I then went, I didn't, but now I'm looking at Stephen Egel, who is a Toyota, Lexus dealer and has got over 300 cars in stock at any given time in the sort of Bedford, Milton Keynes area. So
hang on, but you went looking for Stephen Egel. So in a way, you were on an Egel quest.
Oh, I'd quite like it if Stephen Egel sold Steven Seagal a car when Stephen came to the UK for whatever reason. But let's face it, he's not going to be coming to the UK because he's still stuck in Russia,
which
he says he's really happy about, but I think secretly he's probably dying inside about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's... just a ludicrous man. For some reason in my head, I think that he probably drives like an oldish Cadillac, but not a cool one. Like a sort of rubbish 90s one.
Oh, STS?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know why that comes to mind.
The old 32-valve front-wheel drive North Star job or...
Yeah, something like that. And he's just had it for years and he can't be bothered to think of anything else to get, so he's still got it.
He'll have
if the engine stops working, he just punches it back to life.
He will have had an ex-military Hummer H1, but he, of course, since going to Russia and never returning, it's still at home under a carport. And he's got like a friend who's an obsessive fan that looks after it for him because he says, oh, I'll be back for it.
Hey, well, there's something.
What?
Kate Beckinsale wants to get on board with the car, you know, with barn finds.
Oh!
Pop over to Seagal's place, pump up the tyres on his Hummer and his shit 90s Cadillac, give him a good wash.
Me and Beckinsale, we're going to detail Seagal's Hummer.
Yes. Take a lot of T-cut or modern equivalent because I think that paint is going to be quite bleached out, but you may be able to bring it back a little bit.
Oh, it's going to be...
So a machine polisher. I bet Beckinsale's got a machine polisher.
Oh, she'll 100% have a machine polisher.
Ask her to bring it along.
Yeah, she will.
And, yeah, you can try and sort of take... just bring some of the luster back to the paint.
Well, Kate, if you're listening, like you normally do... get in touch with us. We have an email address. It's hello@smithandsniff.com. And again, Stephen, if you're listening and you want to talk to us about the actual cars that you drive, or indeed your 2004 music album, just email us.
Yeah.
We'd be it'd be great to chat, really.
I was going to say we could add him to the guest waiver list, but I don't know that he's going to show up anytime soon.
Can we, though? Can we add him to
a hotel near Goodwood where we can ply him with wine?
Can we? I'll try and get him to do 20 press-ups after a load of red units.
Ooh, I still haven't tried that. No, just the press-ups, not the doing it.
Yeah, don't do it when you're drunk. It's much harder. It's much harder. It's surprising the number of people that seem to have attempted it. But
I'm quite impressed by the number of people who've attempted it and discovered that it is actually quite hard. So, you know, it makes your achievements of actually doing it live on a podcast all the more. In fact, it was when we were in the hotel room with Greg James that I read out a message from a listener called Adam who had an incident in a Halfords where he'd said spoke to himself. And he'd been identified by a fellow Smith & Sniff listener, as a stranger.
That's right.
Happened to just be in the Halfords. Message from a listener called Richard Sanderson. He said, I drove to my local Tesco Extra, brackets Long Eaton, which is basically in Nottingham. I entered the car park entrance and spent 5 minutes finding the perfect spot. As I came to a halt, rather pleased with myself and my perfect execution of a reverse park, a stocky chap driving a Kia Picanto approached from around the corner. This chap slows down and starts pointing at me and rolled his passenger window down and shouted, Tosser! I thought, what's his problem? There's plenty of spaces. I was nowhere near him when I did the manoeuvre. So I flicked him the V sign. Now, the guy looked at me rather puzzled by this rude gesture. He stopped his car right in front of mine. I thought, oh, shit, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I began looking for something within arm's reach to defend myself, but only finding an old extendable-style car aerial microfiber duster that resembles something Ken Dodd would waft around, tickling folk with. I resigned myself to being completely fucked and expected a pasting. The chap then pointed at his head, pointed back at me, and shouted, Otsot! It was then I realised I was wearing my Smith & Sniff beanie hat, and he'd spotted it. I realised my mistake, put my window fully down and shouted, sorry, mate, I thought you were calling me a tosser. He stuck his thumb up and drove away laughing.
Did we stop a fight? We stopped a fight. We started it and stopped it.
We started and stopped it. So I think that's, you know, that's that. We call that net zero. But So
that's just ridiculous. But
a salutary lesson for other listeners. If you're going to shout Otsot at a stranger because you've clocked them as a Smith & Sniff listener, do enunciate carefully so it doesn't sound like you're calling someone a tosser. I don't even think they sound that similar. I don't know how that's happened. But anyway, thank you, Richard. And I'm glad that you didn't have to dust someone to death in a Tesco Extra car park.
I think instead of Otsot, it would be safer to shout Spoke. Because you can elongate it however you want.
Yeah, exactly.
We've still not had any residents of, is it Spowart Avenue in Scotland? Is it in Scotland, that road?
Yes. There's one in Wales as well. There's one in Scotland and one in Wales. I think, I can't remember. The one in Wales is in Llanelli, I think, and the one in Scotland, I forget.
And it's spelt.
Spowart.
Honestly, it really tickles me every time I see it. Spowart Avenue. You can just imagine if there's stipulation, you know, like when you buy a listed house and they tell you how to look after it. If you lived on Spowett Avenue, they go, right, you've got a second-gen Focus RS in white, okay?
Oh.
And it has to be kept in a certain way. And also, it's a given that every fast forward driver that lives on Spowett Avenue, they do proper cold start in the morning, and then they do ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. Once it's, they leave it on the drive for 15 minutes to warm up, of course. And then yes. They pull out and they'll do the back cackle hard launch, because that's just the way. Even if you start your shift at 5 a.m, it's just the way
yeah.
it is.
Oh, yeah.
So if it sounds like someone's tripping over a load of cardboard boxes on my recording, it's my bloody tortoises. You know,
again,
it's been...
what are they doing now?
Well, because they're bored, because it's been 3 or 4 degrees at night, still can't put them outside. And, you know, I said I left the microphone at the office, so I had to quickly whiz back this morning. Those people that go out to their garage and sit outside their garage door in the morning, they were there, and it was 5 degrees. They were there with deck chairs and puffer jackets.
Why?
I don't know. It's not even in the sun. I don't understand.
Are they smokers?
I've never seen... I think they are, but I have never seen actual smoking.
Because that would sort of explain, oh, we don't want to make the house smell.
Yeah, but you'd get cold sitting down. Why don't you walk and smoke? Go for
around.
A smoky
yeah, yeah.
walk? I don't know. I don't understand them at all. They're those sorts of people that clean their windows every week. And I kind of admire it, but I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
There's
nothing wrong with that. It's just that it suggests a lot of time on your hands.
It suggests an enormous amount of time on the hands. Yeah.
Dirty windows are one of those things I just don't notice.
No, me too, until they're clean.
Yeah, until they're clean, you go, oh, I thought these were heavily tinted, like a 70s pub or something. But no, they're just dirty. My wife says, oh, we need to get a window cleaner around. Yeah. Upstairs windows are filthy. Are they?
No, just do it yourself.
Oh, right.
I revel in the fact that you just do it yourself. Just get the right attachment.
Well, upstairs?
Yeah, you can get like an extra long pressure washer. Mind you, your house is really high, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite lofty because it's old.
Yeah, okay, maybe not your upstairs.
Ladders.
I'm a bungalow guy, so it's just no bother for me. No offence.
Yeah, well, I know.
But you've got more bedrooms than me, so
cleaning windows.
So screw you.
Well, because I've got an extra floor.
You do.
Because it's a house, not a bungalow. But, you know, we could, there's no rivalry.
You've got an SUV house.
Can live in peaceful existence.
You've got an SUV house. I've got, like, a Toyota MR2 house.
Well, I've more got a double-decker bus of a house, whereas you've got, like, a sort of a city hopper bus of a house.
I know a city hopper.
We used to, when we still lived in London, there was, from where we lived, you could get a double-decker bus sort of down the main road that went down past Highgate Tube Station, for people who know it, and down towards Archway. Or there was the single-decker bus that went up the hill into Highgate Village itself. And my wife and I, for years, called that the sports bus.
Sports bus?
It was the sports bus. Because if you go, where are you going? Oh, yeah, I'm meeting so-and-so in this pub. Are you going to walk that? No, I'm going to get the sports bus. And we just knew what we meant. It was the little, because it felt nippier and, you know, being single decker, sort of more agile. Presume it had better handling. Never asked the driver, but I'm going to guess. And so, in our house, it was just known as the sports bus.
But this is way before we would pronounce sport in a different way.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I'd love to see a spoat bus, but no bus can beat the Cobus 3000. Which I've talked about in previous podcasts, which is the Airside airport bus, which I was on. I was on one last week. I just think the stunts of it and the wheel arch covering the top of the tyre is just so sporty.
Mm.
I don't think it gets more sporty in bus world than that. I think it's the Cobus 3000.
I know what I was going to mention to you is that last week we were talking about motorhomes or caravanettes, if you're Jason Clayton.
Yeah, yeah.
But I realised that when I was putting together the show notes for the Patreon, I suddenly popped into my mind the word dormobile.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually a brand name, isn't it?
It is a British camper converter, yeah.
But there was, I feel like in the 70s, 80s still, probably, dormobile was just a synonym for a certain kind of like van-based sort of day van or camper, but it was the Dourbuil. In fact, do you remember Ever Decreasing Circles with Richard Briers and Penelope Wilton? Very, very funny sitcom yeah. about a very sort of hyper pedantic suburban man. And he had, for reasons not entirely clear, a sort of a transit that was, I guess, aftermarket converted to be a kind of small minibus. And he always referred to it as the Dourmobile. I'm pretty sure in that show he always went, I'll take the Dourmobile. And I'm getting in the Dourmobile. And it's like, it felt like Dourmobile was a word you heard quite regularly and now you don't hear it at all. Have Dourmobile gone out of business, maybe?
Yeah, Dourmobile was the kind of slightly rough, might have done a little bit of Young Offenders Institute brother to Westphalia, I would say. Because, of course, the German converters were always the superior when it came to the cabinetry. And things like that. I can't believe we're getting back into the camp. Although I need to say thank you to everyone that's contacted me and said, oh, yeah, good call on the Heimer. I might know someone who knows someone that's
really?
Got one. Yeah, I've been offered a few. But I think the budgets are not, my budgets are not in line with the vehicles I've been offered.
Right.
But no, it's lovely that people are trying to sniff out these things for me, the old Love Palace. Just a text from Kate Beckinsale actually saying she really likes the mid-80s to 1990 short wheelbase Heimer. And she said, too, your description of it looking like that creature that flew around in a cloud on Mario Kart with a fishing rod was very, very accurate. And I'm so thanks for that, Kev. We really appreciate that.
Johnny, I found it accurate and erotic.
Yes.
When's a good time to go and dig out an immaculate Scimitar SS1 that was put into someone's
greenhouse
double garage in 1997?
Stop it, Rich.
That's a barn find.
Oh, God, stop it. Barn find Beckinsale.
I have to read out this message from a patron. Called Charles.
Hi, Charles.
This is a back ref to what we were talking about with Greg James about cricketers and free cars.
Oh, yeah.
He said, my grandmother gave free Saabs to cricketers for favours. And he's put favours in inverted commas.
Who did?
My grandmother, he says.
Gosh.
When my step-grandfather died, my grandmother, now also no longer with us, inherited his successful car business. It had a fantastic reputation selling high-end cars, including Aston Martins and Rolls-Royces. Upon taking on the business, my gran moved to selling Saabs and made the terrible business decision to effectively give Somerset cricketers free cars. Unsurprisingly, she went bust very, very quickly.
Oh, my gosh, so she would have given both of them some FOC Saabs.
Well, it goes on. The family never knew why she did it, and one day I asked her about that time. Worryingly, she described Ian Botham and Viv Richards as particularly naughty and gave me a disturbing wink.
Oh.
Now, when watching the cricket and Beefy pops up, I have to wonder, did you shag my nan for a free Saab?
No way. No way.
This extraordinary.
So, our listeners never fail to impress.
Haunting image.
I can't.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Free Saabs in exchange for skin favours.
Well,
wow.
He's speculating, I suppose, but with that sort of sense of that, you know, like,
wow.
You don't want to think about it, but the prospect is sort of lodged in your mind nonetheless.
I was going to say that potentially his nan has been in the nets a few times, shall we say?
Oh, gosh.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I didn't know what else to talk about this. I had a little panic and go, oh, there's not been much news lately. And then I went, actually, there has been some car news. Didn't mention it in the last podcast about Alfa Romeo hastily renaming a car about 12 hours after they launched it.
Yes,
which I know. Which I thought was
what,
quite
an error.
Yeah, I mean, has that happened before?
Well, the truth is this has happened to Alfa Romeo before.
Oh.
Because... you know, remember the Giulietta hatchback from sort of the 2010s, I suppose?
Yeah, good car. The one that looks like the rear light clusters look like referees' whistles.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, that's what I always... they're very distinctive.
Yeah, that's weird. I thought that as well.
Did you?
Yeah. So that was going to be called the Milano. And they sent out... this is in one of my boring car trivia books. They sent out pictures to the press where it said Milano on the badges and on the number plate or whatever in the studio shots. The first pictures released it and went, this is our new car coming soon, so you know it's under embargo, but here are the pictures so you can get them in your magazine. And that was on a Friday, I think. And then on the Monday they had this hasty change of mind because they'd realized that they were about to close down their operations in Milan and make everyone move to Turin.
And so if they then call
the car Milano, we're so proud of being from Milan where we've shut down everything, then it looked a little bit insensitive. So they panicked and pulled the name and had to frantically contact all the media outlets they'd sent the pictures to and go, don't run those pictures, we'll send you some new ones where they'd hastily photoshopped in a new name.
What?
And the name's Giulietta. Yeah. So they've already frigged it up once with Milano, which was also, weirdly, the name of the Alpha 75 in the US. So they have used the badge without a fuck-up.
Surely it's a cursed name. They should just...
well, it does feel like it, yeah, because the 75 never did very well in the US. So it's not got a great history with them. But yes, yeah, so at least that time they didn't make a big announcement. They managed to sort of... pull it back from the people it sent it to before the embargo lifted. But this time, yeah, ba-da, it's called the Milano. Oh, no, wait, it's not. It's called the Junior. I mean, at the time of recording, they may have realised that, I don't know, like the singer Junior or the type of school for kids under 11 has lodged some complaint and they're going to have to rebrand again. But yeah, for now it's called the Junior.
So it was going to be the Milano. For people who haven't caught this, it's now going to be called the Junior, and that's because it breaks laws by... being built in Poland, you can't call it the Milano. Is it a bit like making a Cornish pasty in Yorkshire? You can't sell it as a Cornish pasty-ish.
There were rumblings that this is against the law in Italy to name something like you're saying about Cornish pasties and stuff like that. And you know, I don't know where the law stands on cheddar cheese. Because not all of that is made in Somerset, is it?
I think it has to be, unless it's a cheddar-style cheese.
Cheddar-style cheese?
Well, it's true, because you can
get... all the cheddar?
You can get Greek-style cheese from places like Lidl and Aldi.
That is true, but Greek-style yogurt as well.
Yeah, and they can't call it Greek yogurt or cheese if it's obviously not made off of Greece and all that.
Yeah,
but okay, that car, the Milano, not the Junior, sorry...
Mm.
It does have a very, very odd front grille, which I've looked at it three times now. It's a bit... I think I know what they were trying to do, but it doesn't work with the rest of the car.
It doesn't work. The one you're talking about is the one where it's got a sort of abstract, like a sort of a section of the Alfa logo.
Yes.
That's cut out on a solid panel in the Alfa V sort of V-shaped...
Yeah, that's right. Like a stencil.
Grill.
Like a stencil.
Yeah, like a stencil, exactly. Because there's two grills on that car. There's also a sort of sporty grill that's mesh with Alfa Romeo written in very cursive writing, like on the older racing cars from the 30s. But the stencil grill you can see what they were aiming for. And to me, it looks like it could be off a Bertone concept car from the 70s where they were trying something a bit groovy.
Exactly.
It just doesn't quite work.
No, and I like the fact they were trying to be experimental, but I think it doesn't work with the rest of it in that instance. I mean, they've got a hard act to follow in that I do still maintain that the Stelvio is the best-looking SUV on sale. It's...
You think?
Yeah, I think it looks fantastic. I think for that genre of car, it looks... I mean, my personal opinion.
It's not a horror show, no. It's sort of quietly handsome.
But yet the Tonale... Yes. I saw the Tonale last week. It's probably one of about seven in the country. And it was coming towards me while I was running on the pavement. It wasn't on the pavement, just so you know. It was on the actual road. I was just... Anyway, it was coming towards me. And I don't know whether it's the way the body tapers down. I have to look at it again.
Yes.
But it looked like it had massive amounts of positive camber on the front wheels. You know when an old car accelerates hard, like a vintage race car, or...
Yeah.
Or a Triumph Herald just drives along.
Yeah. All manner of camber nonsense going on with Triumph Herald.
Yeah, it looked like that. And I thought, why is it like that? That just looks weird and toothy. I don't understand. But I'll have to look at some more. I think the Tonale is, given the Stelvio is so good looking, I think the Tonale just doesn't quite work.
No. I mean, I know what you mean, because I've seen the Tonales, and I think the track looks slightly too narrow for the kind of midsection of the body. It's like it flares out too much. It reminds me in that respect a bit of the 2000s VW Polo, where it just looked very slightly too barrel-sided.
Yes, it did.
For the width of the track. And then they completely fixed that with the follow-up Polo, which had that really nice sort of solid stance on the road and looked sort of widest at the bottom, where it looked sort of... You're sturdy and reassuring.
You are bloody spot on. That is true. That is absolutely true. Yeah.
I never liked that as it's a Mark IV Polo, isn't it? I never liked that Polo of the 2000s, but I just thought it looked a bit tubby.
Yeah.
And
it did, you're right, barrel chested. You're absolutely right. It's kind of.
But yeah, the toenail is just not. There's something a bit off about it. I can't. Yeah. Anyway.
But there's somebody near me who has an Alfa Giulia, the beautiful saloon, which I think is just still just stunning.
It's funny, because when that came out, I thought it was a little bit bland and disappointing. And as the years have gone by, it's really sort of grown into itself. And I do think it's actually a very handsome car now. I really like it. I think it's quite sort of... It hasn't dated much, has it? Because it almost wasn't trying to be fashionable. Well, so.
No, I think it's dated brilliantly. And my daughter, who's 14 and a half and highly impressionable, she still talks about the Alfa Giulia that I picked her up in and had for a week on test.
Really?
Yeah, and there's the one in town near. We walk past it on the way into town regularly, and she points at it every time, and she nods and she goes, "That'll be my first car." And I went, I don't think it'll be your first car, but I think I said it's a fantastic car, and you will own one at some point if you'd like to. And and then we go straight into the which colourway, because she knows I love that. Well, I've talked about it before, that blimmin' green they do, the Verde, whatever it's called, off of Cloverleaf and all that. Absolutely the best green on sale. I'm going to say that. It's probably my favourite car colour of a modern car right now. Audi Sumatra green comes in a close second or third. It's still on the podium. I do like a green car.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, maybe we invite the listeners to confer, so that in our new second podcast of the week, when we actually read out people's letters, we could.
Well, no, we're answering their questions. Let's try and keep this on track before we've started.
Is that what we're doing?
We're answering their questions, and I think when we start, we're going to throw this open to patrons first.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll invite. I think set up a new email address, maybe, just for questions.
Okay, so don't listen to me, everybody. Listen to Richard. Unless Richard's had...
With the crisp organisation for which Smith & Sniff is known, we haven't discussed the finer details of this, even though we've decided to do it. And then just blundered.
Everybody
into
listen to Richard, unless he's had 2 litres of Chardonnay, in which case do not listen to Richard.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I was going to say I haven't had a drink since then, because that was my, you know, my unitary amount for a grown adult for the year, taken care of in one weekend. But
it was good. It was good.
Now look,
guys,
I've had a heck of a few days, because in fact I have had a drink, because it's my birthday. Or is my birthday just gone?
Oh, happy birthday, slag! I didn't know that.
Thanks, mate. But just before my birthday, I went to London, so leafy, for some work stuff. But then in the evening, our mate Jason Barlow, out of writing excellent books about Bond cars and car design and being a car journalist generally.
And a genuinely sweet, sweet guy.
A sweet, sweet guy. And Jason and I are massive Pet Shop Boys fans. And Jason said they're doing this album preview. Their new album came out on Friday. Very good. But on Monday last week, they did album playback at this venue in London. And then Chris and Neil on stage being interviewed by Alexis Petridis, the music journalist. And of course, it sold out in like 2 minutes flat. But Jason, he knows their PR, because he's interviewed them for GQ before.
Yeah, I remember.
Jason said, leave it with me. I'll see if we can get on the guest list. And so he tried, and there was nothing. And then the Friday before, he just messaged me and went, I hope you're free on Monday. We're going to see the Pet Shop Boys being interviewed. And I was like, well, this is fantastic. So we went along to this thing. They played the album back in full before it had been released. And so that was the first time I'd heard a load of the tracks, which is really, really cool in itself. And then they came on stage and they did chat, and they took questions from the audience. They're very, very funny.
Are they?
Yeah, they're really funny. Go watch. I know you're not a massive fan, but there's just on recently there was an Imagine documentary on the BBC with Alan Yentob about them. And you'll see how funny they are in that. They're just funny. And
they've stood the test of time amazingly well.
40 years since the original version of West End Girls was released. Yeah. No, Alexis Petridis started the thing by sort of listing some of their achievements. And it's incredible, you know, how many hit singles they've had, how many awards they've won, and, you know, how long they've been going. So Jason was like, now, we're on the guest list. I hope that includes backstage access. And so we sort of went and talked to someone with a clipboard, and they went, no, you're not, you don't get backstage. Like, okay, well, you know, it's fine, I just want to come to the event, it's cool. And then we realized we were sitting just along from their manager, who's this lovely American lady called Angela, and Chris Lowe's sister Vicky. And Jason had a bit of an in there, because he's met them before, so he went and said hi. And he sorted Chris Lowe out with an Audi e-tron GT.
Oh,
a while ago.
What, to borrow?
For
or
2 weeks.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, to borrow, because he was intrigued. He remembered that Jason had interviewed him for GQ, but is really a car journalist. And somehow a connection had been made there. And their manager or their PR messaged Jason and went, Chris really wants to try an electric car, and he'd love to try this Audi e-tron GT. Do you think you could put him in touch with Audi? And Jason's like, I will take care of it. Sorted him out with a press car for a couple of weeks so he could go back home to Blackpool, where he's from, for his summer holidays in the Audi. And it turned out his sister, Vicky, who we met last night, happened to be visiting Blackpool as well, and she had a go in the Audi too. And so we were there before they came on stage to do their chat and interview, talking about Audi e-trons with Chris Lowe's sister. And I was like, this is quite surreal.
That's cool.
But this isn't Jason's first rodeo. He's good at this stuff, because he does he's massively into music. You know, he's forgotten more than we'll ever know about music. So he was straight there talking to Angela, the manager. And then I walked back to our seat, and then Jason came back and he went, we're on for backstage.
Oh.
What? So when the event finished, we all got up, and with the manager and Chris Lowe's sister, we walked down to go to backstage. They wouldn't let us in, and there was a bit of, no, seriously, I managed the band, I could go backstage. All very nice, but... And then we went backstage, and there was Chris Lowe, and he remembered Jason, and Jason introduced me. And the next thing, I'm chatting about cars with Chris Lowe out of Pet Shop Boys.
Oh my.
It was fucking brilliant.
Tell me you had the conversation about the BMW, is it the Z1?
He had a Z1.
I remember telling me this.
We were just chatting about cars and cars he's had and stuff like that. But like I know this sounds, I'm sorry, I'm kind of a bit babbly about this because they are honestly my favourite band and I've loved them forever. And I always think that thing of, you know, never meet your heroes. And like when David Bowie died, I was like, oh, no, I'll never meet Bowie now. And I was like, well, did I want to meet Bowie? What if he was a bit of a dick or something? But sometimes you can meet your heroes and find that they're really nice. And I have to say, honestly, hand on heart, and maybe this is part of why they've had such great longevity, I met both Chris and Neil last night, and they were so nice. They were like really nice, genuine people. I had a sort of normal conversation. Because so I chatted to Chris Lowe and I, so we were talking cars. So I said, didn't you still have BMW Z1? And he went, yeah, I did actually. And that's, and then Jason went, and Bernard Sumner had one as well. And Chris went, yeah, well, actually, he asked me what it was like, and that's why he bought one, because I said, you know, it was really good.
That's
and,
cool.
But then he was scoffing at Bernard Sumner out of New Orleans as tasting cars. He's like, he likes a kind of, I know you're not supposed to say it anymore, but he likes a kind of hairdresser car. Because he had a Bobby Ewing SL, he had the Z1, still a two-seater roadster, and then he, more recently he's had a Range Rover Evoque. It's like Bernard, get a proper Range Rover. And then up walks Neil Tennant. It was like, holy shit. Again, remembers Jason. Hi, Jason, how are you? And Jason went, this is my friend Richard. And we're standing in a gloomy corridor, and Neil went, come in here. We went into one of the dressing rooms. He went, come in here, it's more like. And then we were just chatting. And we ended up chatting about cars again. And then halfway through, Jason went, sorry, we're talking to you about cars. And Neil Tennant went, I've never had a conversation about cars before.
Oh, that is good, because, of course, everyone wants to talk about music most of the time, don't they? And
that's the thing. I realised maybe that's why they were quite relaxed and chatty, because it was like, oh, good, they're not going to ask me, like, what that lyric means or, you know, what synth settings that we use, which, honestly, I would have loved to
ask. I was going to say, you probably did, though, didn't you, as well?
So have a guess what Pet Shop Boys drive.
Right now? That's a tough one.
Now bear in mind, Neil Tennant only learnt to drive, I think, about 15 years ago or something.
Oh, really?
He's quite a late, yeah, maybe 20 years ago. He's quite a late learner, because actually this came up in conversation, and in Left to My Own Devices, there's a lyric that says, one day I'll read or learn to drive a car, which, you know, it's an autobiographical song. He actually said, he went, well, at that point, I couldn't drive. You know, I was in my 30s, couldn't drive. So bear in mind, he's quite a new driver, relatively speaking. You know, he sort of like learned to drive in his 50s.
I would love it if he had a Japanese people carrier. But I don't think
Esteemer.
Yeah,
or
I would like that. I think that would be really cool. But I could see that working as a pair of them. What's he got? I mean, Toyota IQ.
No. Okay, yeah, I could see that, because, like, you know, lives in London and all the rest of it. Because his first car, he passed his test and he went out and bought a Suzuki Vitara.
Okay. That's.
But now he has a 2011 Discovery 4.
Does he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I was really like, really taken aback by that. I didn't expect that. But I mean, you know, they're great cars. And Jason and I agreed afterwards. It's like, they're kind of, you know, sort of timeless design and quite tasteful and a bit discreet. But yeah, I was like, okay, well, that's interesting.
I think I would have.
Chris Lowe.
Yeah. What's Lowe?
We didn't get onto what he's driving now. Well, we did, because he's got an old 911. He's got an 80s 911.
Tell me he's had it for a long time.
Yeah, he's had it for ages, but that's not his daily driver. He didn't get onto his daily driver. Neil told us what he drives. He went, Chris has had the same car for like 20 years or more. We're like, what is that? And he went, it's a Jeep Wrangler. It's so old, it's still got a tape player.
Really?
No. Really? Wow. Yeah, it's like, God, they could go off-roading.
The Pet Shop Boys should go green laning.
That was an alternative title for the new album. Actually, green laning.
I can imagine them doing an album called Green Lane. You can even imagine the artwork.
You could see it as well. But yeah, but no, Chris Lowe, proper car guy. He was talking about his Ferrari 456 that he had, and he went, "It's brilliant because you get four people in it at a push and luggage. It came with the fitted luggage in the boot." He was like, "It's great, really practical car. I loved it." So
that's cool. I know you were incredibly happy.
So happy. I'll put a picture up on the Patreon of me looking like such a, as one of our friends said, you look like a competition winner.
You do look
a
like
very
a
sweaty face.
But you kind of are. You kind of are a competition.
Well, yeah.
I won a free competition. The competition to meet your favourite band and find out that they're really nice and have a long chat with Chris Lowe about Ferrari 456s and the Audi Quattro that he had in the 80s, which he bloody loved.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, no, he's one of us. He's a car guy because he's got a keen interest in good stuff.
I bet you'd love an ex Pet Shop Boy modern classic.
Well, his Z1 was up for sale a while ago, as was Bernard Sumner's, and they always, you know, put it in the ad. But I wasn't in a position to leap on Z1s that are owned by my synthesizer. So. I also got the best thing is I got to tell Chris Lowe in person that he was part of the inspiration for the Stig, as far as I was concerned.
Oh,
which I mentioned in my Top Gear book, and I think I might have said it on social media once. But yeah, in my head, when we started sending the Stig out into the real world, so he wasn't just driving cars on a track, and we sort of developed his character a bit, I always used to write that stuff, you know, here's what he does, and more importantly, here's what he doesn't do.
Yeah.
And so in my head, one of the things is, he's like, he doesn't speak, you know, and Chris Lowe is sort of a man of few words.
He is.
In public persona. Very, very lovely and chatty off stage. And so I was like, but also the Stig, if he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to do something, he just fucks off.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, he's his own man and he's got his own thing going on, but he's very, very good at what he does. So he sort of earned the right just to go,
The Stig's almost like Dynamo, isn't he? We were talking about Dynamo the other week, where he does his thing and then just walks off.
Just walks off, yeah. But that's it. In my head, the Stig was a sort of Kimi Räikkönen meets Chris Lowe.
That's great.
And I got to tell Chris Lowe that in person last night, and he was really chuffed, which was a relief, because I thought he might go, what, how fucking dare you? But no, he was absolutely chuffed as anything, like really genuinely pleased, which made me pleased. So, as you can tell, this has been...
What a birthday present.
What a birthday present. I don't really know how to top that. I'm sorry, it's a bit name-droppy, but fuck it. They're my favourite band, and I never thought I'd meet them, and I never thought I'd discover that they were actually really, really nice.
Yes.
Before we go, very quickly, we've got three things to tell you. One of them, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Late Break Show. But in this case, he just takes an inordinate amount of time to play snooker, if that's not to your taste. There's also The Late Break Show. There's lots of stuff about cars. People who like cars. Second thing
so well
I've got to
promoted.
Tell you is I've got books out. But one of them is called And On That Bombshell, which is a book about my time working on Top Gear 2002 to 2015. Includes a brief reference to Chris Lowe of Pet Shop Boys, my new best friend, and lots of other behind-the-scenes stories about making that programme. And the third thing that I've got to tell you is that I can't find my notes. So I don't know.
Because you're too busy gushing about the Pet Shop Boys.
I know, gushing, that's it. Gushing is the problem. Oh, no, the third thing I've got to tell you is, that American military thing that's in movies and stuff. I don't know, but I've been told.
Yes.
I don't know what it's called.
No,
anyway,
like a marching thing.
That was the inspiration for Ain't No Doubt by Jimmy Nail.
God, I bet. Yeah, I can see that. Gosh.
She's laying.
That's a tune, then. Yeah, no,
It's just that chant adopted with different words.
Thank you for that. Late Break Show, there'll be a new video that you can watch right now, and it's the intro to me preparing a Kia Picanto brand new car for the Land's End trial.
Super.
That we did compete in its 100th running event. So there we go.
Well, there we go.
Was a lot of fun. And if you haven't watched it's an electric Mercedes G-Wagen first look, which is, a very interesting car, I think, in EV form. And that's it. I'm not going to talk about the Pet Shop Boys or anything else. That's it.
No, we've done that now. We're all good. We're covered, I think. I've done my gushing.
But
we'll be back again next week, slightly less gushing. And shortly, in a few, 2-3 weeks time, we'll be back on Fridays. But not for now. And we're only doing questions. And I hope that's all very clear.
We're so good at finishing this podcast.
We're so good, aren't we? We really are.
Like when those planes that land and then there's a gust of wind and they swoop back up again and then smack back down again.
Back up again. Yeah. That's us. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye then.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate. Bye.
So you've enjoyed this podcast, but you've had a thought. Is there a way? here today that you could show support? Well, you could join our Patreon. What wonders that it brings. Early shows and extra notes on that side of things. You could buy our merchandise. We've mugs and hats, but still no ties. One day we will make those pies. But in the meantime, guys, hey guys, like and subscribe, and maybe leave a nice review. Like and subscribe, we know just what to do. Like and subscribe, we don't want to take the piss. Like and subscribe, but we were told to ask for this. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Free Saabs in exchange for skin favors.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.